Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dr. MJ Collier from Atlanta West Primary Care. And Dr. Claggett will be joining us at 5 o'clock to give us an update on what is the latest trends. But before we get to that, you know, one of the things that make this real is when you know someone who have survived or gone through this virus, who can tell you firsthand, because if we're listening to Fauci or you're listening to Trump or whomever, they make it sound so romanticized that you're just going to go through and cough a day or two and, you know, you wait 14 days and life is just back to normal. But I have with me my good friend, Charles Champ Walker, out of Augusta. And
how you doing, sir?
Champ, I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
Man, just blessed. Just back here recovering, listening to the doctor. I don't know how you're taking it easy.
Champ, you are a survivor. Tell us your COVID-19 story. When did you realize or when did you get it verified that you were, in fact, COVID-19 positive? What prompted you to go to the doctor or hospital? Or how? Tell us what happened that made you go seek medical help for whatever it was you thought you were experiencing at the time. And when did it start?
Yes, sir. It was around June the 16th, 17th. I start coughing, and 2 days later, excuse me, ended up having some shortness of breath and more so wheezing. And then on the third day, I told my wife, I said, it's time to go to the doctor, because if you listen to CNN and the media, that's all you hear. And people talking about ventilators. So, you know, if you ain't got to be on a ventilator, why not? And ended up going to the doctor, put me up to the IV, and they gave me some oxygen. They told me that I had COVID-19 and I had pneumonia. Well, I stayed in for 7 days, and they couldn't tell me what was going on. Some of the doctors were great. Some of them treated you like you had the plague and really scared you to death. Some nurses were great, but they are so afraid that they can't give you the care that you need. They finally ended up letting me go on the seventh day and didn't give me any information as to how to drain my lungs with pneumonia, how to use what we call a spirometer, which we had to go and find out for ourselves. No aftercare instructions at all. In fact, I went to isolate in a place we had downtown. And upon doing so, 8 days later, my feet were hurting real bad. We called telemedicine doctor. I said, get back to the emergency room right away. You need to get checked out. Are you on blood thinners? I said, no. We went back, couldn't find out. My white blood count was something like 22,000, and I had blood clots. Mm. And it was horrendous because they know that one of the main things is, especially in black people, but in general, that you can be clotting. And so I went back into the hospital a second time. And because you don't know about COVID, and because they were so neglectful and telling me to even take an aspirin, that's when it becomes mental. And I'm a man of faith, and you're talking about praying and speaking things into existence and lining up with the Word of God. That's all I could do. And I can't imagine people who don't have that type of relationship. It is grueling. But what came out of it, Brother Bozeman, was that 98% of the people the second time I went were African-American. And they're literally letting people out of the hospital without any information. Yeah. And it's not all hospitals. I'm not going to say all hospitals. But people are actually dying and getting worse symptoms because they're not treating them. And it is a shame.
Let's back up, too, because you gave us a lot in that few moments. Let's back up to the cough. And before, you said it's 16th or 17th. Was this all a sudden, the 15th, that was no prelude to it? Or did you just, what was the cough like? What did it feel like?
It was like a pretty dry cough.
Okay.
And I still have it to this day.
Okay.
But it's not due to pneumonia, it's due to the lungs. Mm-hmm. And it wreaks havoc on the lungs. But my daughter had symptoms 3 days prior to.
Okay.
She had
and
fever.
So your whole, tell her how many people in your family ended up
Six.
Testing positive? Six.
Five.
Out
five
of
tested positive. Out of six.
Out of six of you all, five. So it skipped. Mm-hmm. Somebody missed it.
Yes.
But five of you all test positive.
Yeah.
Did everybody require hospitalization, or was that just you?
It was just me and my oldest daughter out of D.C. She went in for like 3 hours to get some oxygen.
Okay.
But she's been fine for about 3 weeks now.
Okay. Praise God for that. So you get this cough. Did the other family members contemporaneously at the same time you did start having symptoms too?
Yep, they were very different. Some of them was a fever. Some of them had extreme fatigue, and some had pain, muscle bone pain.
All right. So which of these episodes did you experience that let you? So you got the dry cough, and that probably started some bells to ringing. But what was it that said to you, it's time to go?
That wheezing.
So you could hear the wheezing in the chest, the lungs. You knew this was not.
You can hear it, and you can hear it, and you can feel it.
Oh wow!
You can see, your stomach going in and out, like
yeah,
it was crazy. And mine wasn't. Mine could not have been as bad as most, from what I understand.
Wow.
But because of what I heard, I just didn't play with it at all. And to tell you the truth, I think it was done by the good Lord that saved me, but this remdesivir, they had just put it out probably 2 weeks prior to me going to the hospital. And there's some called COVID-19 long haulers group. And if you were to go there, you would put on a mask. Because before remdesivir, it's my opinion, I'm not a doctor, but people who did not get remdesivir, which will help fight off the virus, you know, the virus
at the time,
they it took days off. I mean, it really helped fight antibiotics and steroids. But people who didn't get that, this thing wreaks havoc on your organs and on your lungs.
Right.
And people are having, there's over 100 symptoms documented right now. And people are talking about 3, 4, 5. There's 100 symptoms, and people are still having blurred vision, muscle pains, nausea. It impacts your brain like nobody's business. Severe fog, memory loss, and people would be amazed if they really knew what this thing would do to them.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we want you to tell us they do a complete workup on you. And of all of the symptoms that you just named, what did you experience? What was the worst day like for you, you know, as you go through this process? And so you end up going back to the doctor for blood clots. And tell us about that process. What do they find when they look? And our special guest is, hold on, we got to take a break, Charles. When we come back,
okay, no problem.
Champ, tell us all about the process so people can understand. We want you to not be deceived now, to think that this is just something that go and pass away and then everything is just fine. We'll be back in a moment. It's Too Much Truth with Derek Bowles, Champ Walker. You know him and his family out of Augusta. one of the great families of Georgia. Father, just one of the most dynamic leaders you would ever meet. Past that, one of the greatest businessmen you ever meet. Past that, business acumen on to his son, Champion. Today we're talking, as I was reading through my timeline, because from time to time, Champ will post something either about his Tatted Croc line of clothing. And we want you to tell us about that, too. You know, his father known for his iconic, whether it was the football classic or the or the parties, the Augusta National
Masters Party.
You know, but y'all's been in the battle of his life. Champ, you get sick, you are wheezing, you're coughing. Did you know, I mean, just self-diagnosing what you knew, did you know for sure probably at that point you were COVID positive?
Yes.
Okay. No doubt.
No question about it. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, and the reason I knew is because I had a friend that got almost deathly sick back in February at a clothing convention called Magic, and he described those symptoms. But that we didn't even know COVID had hit yet. Mm-hmm. And I heard a couple of other my friends back in November say the same thing. So when I started wheezing, I said, you know what? This is it's time to get checked out.
Okay. So you go into probably the largest, I mean, Augusta has a pretty large medical school there, and the Augusta Medical, is that where you go? Is that
I moved up probably 7 years ago. I'm in Fayetteville now.
Okay.
And I ended up at Piedmont Fayetteville.
Okay.
And great hospital.
Right. But and arguably a lot of doctors, as you said, they didn't know a whole lot. They were learning almost. You know, well, by June they knew a whole lot more. So you go in, you're wheezing, you already have pneumonia, which is the classic symptoms. You felt you were in trouble health-wise.
Yes. You know, I had, pre-hypertension.
Right.
I've had my thyroid taken out.
Right. So you were at a high
concerned.
Risk. Yeah.
And they told me no, but I know that the thyroid deal with hormones.
Right.
And because it's new, I just don't accept a no. And that's what most people need to understand. Okay. You need to understand they don't understand, mm-hmm. but you have to make sure that you get your point across. Because they don't know, they don't want to touch it. But it can be a very scary area. And you can't have visitors.
Right. So you get there, and what is the first thing that sent alarm bells off for you that, you know, maybe I'm not sure I'm in the right place? I mean, you know, I'm having to ask too many questions. What alarmed you the most about actually being dropped off at the hospital, being told no visitors and we're going to just work this thing through?
I walked in there with a tremendous amount of faith. Had to calm my wife down, and that's what happens when, you know, mm-hmm. they got it too. You focus on them. But when I got in there, we went about a day to find a room. But I was one of the ones who found the room. They didn't have any more of that. So when I got in there, I noticed just the personalities and the attitudes of some of the nurses. And some of them were very cordial, went out their way. Then you had some who didn't want to touch you, and mm-hmm. you can be on the phone trying to reach them for 30 minutes and no one calls. And that would have never happened if my wife or my kids were there.
Right.
And that was the first thing I realized. I was like, that's strange. I'm not used to doing this.
It makes a difference, somebody. So are you on the COVID ward, or they have everybody isolated in one ward, or
on the COVID. I was on the COVID ward.
Tell us when it start turning. You get dismissed. relatively quickly. You say you stayed a week and
seven,
was then dismissed.
7 days. Mm-hmm.
When and you got dismissed, went, were you feeling better? Were you feeling back your old self?
I wasn't feeling my old self. I was feeling better. I was only on oxygen for like probably 3 days. But I was
and now when you said oxygen, because we know two different processes, the intubation is the forced oxygen. So you were not on that. You just on the mask on the face?
On the mask on the face oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're giving you pressurized oxygen that's pushing it down into the lung region.
Yes.
And heavy antibiotics to treat the pneumonia.
That's right. And some steroids.
You mentioned being learning how to drain your lungs. What does that mean?
Well, depending on how you can lay on your stomach on both sides and on your back, and you can drain your lungs if you got some pneumonia. I had to learn that on my own because I couldn't sleep at night.
By laying on your stomach.
Yes, you can lay on your stomach, put a pillow underneath your hips.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so for your head is lower than your hips, and it will drain. Now, you do a lot of coughing, but it will eventually drain and come up. Okay. We had to learn that online, which infuriated me because I didn't get sleep for 2 days.
And you wonder why nobody told you to now, which is a standard practice, is they're laying people usually when they are intubated on their stomachs to help with the lung drainage kind of situation. You have to learn. What do you mean you had to learn it online?
No one, the doctor never told me about it. They never told me that.
So you're laying there going through your phone and Googling stuff.
Talking to my wife and my kids, and they're saying, "Dad, you can do the prone position." I said, "What's that?" So I'm asking the nurses about it. So, "Oh yeah, yeah, you can do that." I said, "Well, do you have a spirometer where I can,
blow into it? My lung. Spirometer, that thing you blow into, and it blows the little bubble up and down."
They never told me anything about it until the last day I asked them about it. I said, "Oh yeah, everybody. Well, some people got them, some people don't. Some people don't use it." I'm like, "Well, nobody told me. I could have been here. You know what I mean?"
Right, already doing it.
Expanding
that.
My lung capacity.
Right.
And so I was in the bed. I couldn't even go to the bathroom.
Okay. I put a pin right there. Go put a pin right there because we got to take another break.
No problem.
Come back. I want you to tell us all about that because I want people to hear it ain't all a bed of roses. People do survive. Then I want you to tell us what's your health status today. Are you fully back? Are you recovering? And what is the prognosis for you? And then you can tell us what we need to be doing in our own lives so that we can avoid this dreaded virus. Don't go to place. Our special guest is Charles Chambliss, inventor, creator, but survivor of COVID-19. Champ, you were saying before you were making a point before we went to break. Tell us about, you were saying, the other symptoms. Did you go through the classic ones we know, the loss of smell, loss of taste, and all other? Tell us some of the things that you experienced that we don't talk much about or know much about. You talked about having to discover if you turn a certain ways, the lung would drain of the mucus and you cough it up, and that was helpful. What else did you go through that was self-discovery, self-learning? Beyond the spiritual part, which I think is as equally important as the medicine in many instances.
There's no question about it. We, the prone position was very important, but there were some herbal remedies that people talk about quite a lot that I didn't quite, I ain't gonna say believe in, but it was like, everybody does it, got to do something. But really the use of cayenne pepper, orange peels, lemons, turmeric, ginger, and garlic boiled and really just sort of, breathing in that through your nose really helped break up
the mucus
and the phlegm, and it helped a great deal. And we always use a purifier. So that purifier, and we had a vaporizer at one point as well. And you just really, And some hospitals are better than others. Some know, some don't. Mm-hmm. But I would caution everybody to just make sure that you investigate for yourself, because as they find new discoveries and as they go further, they realize, hey, this is what we need to be doing. But if you go to the hospital and they're not answering questions, mm-hmm. like a lot of doctors, part of the COVID-19 long haulers survival group, if you go on Facebook, on the internet, you can find them. It is amazing. I never had a loss of smell, loss of taste. I never had the headaches. I never had the muscle pains. Mine probably would have been not even considered mild had I not had what we call the GERD condition, the acid reflux.
Wow.
And if you combine that, and that's why this thing is so deadly, something that simple, if you combine that, it will irritate it. You know, the mucus going, you know, acid mucus going back and forth.
Right.
Will create additional wheezing and loss of breath. But it may not be from COVID, but COVID will interact with it. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things that we were sort of finding out. But what happened to me, even though my symptoms were not like everybody else's, right? And I was real happy about that, trust me. After sitting up for 8 days mm-hmm. and not taking blood thinners, I ended up getting clots.
And talk about that, because you had left the hospital, and what were you experiencing that told you you need to go back or something was not quite right? You said something was happening with your legs.
It was hard to walk. It was very sore and painful on the bottom of both of my feet. And we decided to talk to, because it's hard to get in touch with a doctor. And I tell people, telemedicine, they can't see you. They can't do no scans. Do it, but say whatever you got to say to get in the hospital. Do not fall for that. But my doctor had enough common sense. The black doctor who had went through COVID himself, he said, you go to the doctor. He said, because they didn't give me the blood thinners, you go back. We get in there, come to find out, I got these clots. They give me bad news about scarring and mm-hmm. so many years it could come back. And I'm looking, and I've never had to be so courageous in my life. Because mm-hmm. whatever they say, I have to line it up with what God said. But in the meantime, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You just have to stay there and listen to it. And I was beginning to get furious, because I knew that they were neglectful, mm-hmm. that they didn't give me blood thinners. And I was saying, I can't believe I got out of the hospital with COVID, and I'm back in with a condition that is crazy. My family, I mean, everybody in my family, I mean, I had people calling me, you know, sad, but I had a few business partners that be calling you, hey, man, we never did that thing, man. We need to go ahead and do that. You got a will?
Yeah.
So a lot of this is mental. But the hospital, my point is the hospital, the doctors, depending on who they are, because they're afraid of it too, they don't help the patient. And because your family can't be there, it gets even worse.
Yeah, yeah. Let me tell you, when I saw them older people dying early April at the old folks' home up here, I said, oh, my God. You know, to be in pre-Alzheimer's or in some other state, and you can't even see your children, the people you're most familiar with, and they tell you to, if you stand at the window, you can wave at them, because all of them tested COVID positive, and these seniors were dying by the dozens. You hear me?
Not even
able to be touched, or even when they got to the hospital, they wouldn't let you come see them, and it's heartbreaking. So give us the praise report, man. Where are you at now? Where's the glory in this story at?
I'm on blood thinners, and I got to be on there for, you know, a couple of months, and I'm recovering well. Excuse me, I still got a slight cough, but I can breathe, I can walk, you know, I probably can walk a mile. Did a 3/4 of a mile yesterday, didn't feel bad at all. Doing my breathing exercises,
mm-hmm.
and you need a lot of rest. because this thing will wear you out.
What is the pain like? What did you have the pain too? Because people talk about the pain and the fatigue.
I didn't have the pain. I had the fatigue.
And what does that feel like? You just didn't feel like getting out of bed. You don't want.
You don't want to move, and depression.
Oh, I can see that very easily.
Depression can set in if you already have anxiety, or if you're worried anyway. The fear of the unknown for COVID is different because they tell you got cancer, diabetes, they give you some medicine, radiation. But with COVID, I mean, it's there's a lot going on with your organs. Some people, impact their liver. Like I said, there's 100 symptoms, and we only talk about 5. But these long haulers, if you want to know why you need to wear a mask, you have to check them out, because it's almost like that commercial, Mr. Bozeman, where you see that lady got the hole in her throat trying to talk.
Right.
She wish she hadn't smoked.
Right.
That's the way it is.
Wow. How's the family? How's everybody else?
Family's blessed. You know what I mean? Just so thankful. You know, the first time we thought we were in the clear, that second time, sort of threw everybody for a loop.
Right.
But we are fine. And I say this, brother, we talk about the spiritual thing, but I say that because as for me,
right,
there's a point where your human strength is not enough.
Right. Champ, hold that right there, because I want you to come back.
Go ahead.
And I want you to close out with that message to all of us. We're up against a break, and then we got Dr. Claggett. I want you to tell us what that's like. And we ain't even talked about it. I mean, obviously, you and your wife, the family, all of y'all work, you have businesses, all of that's got on hold. We didn't even talk about that for the last month or so. You've been fighting literally for your life, if we're honest about it. And so last thing you're trying to figure out now, how to sell more shirts or do whatever you do, or how to get us in this weed business that you and I have been talking about. None of that. I tell people, go back and listen to, what's my man? The brother who created Apple, Steve Jobs, last interview.
Yes.
After he got sick, he said, look, man, I give all of this back. Just to be able to breathe uninterrupted for one day. Give all this wealth back. So it cannot buy me. I can buy anything in the world. The one thing that I need most, I cannot purchase. And that's an extension of my life and the ability to just breathe.
Yes.
All right, we'll come back. We'll let you close us out, man. We're going to talk to Dr. Von Claggett, and he'll be on the line with us. Again, it's Too Much Truth with Derek Bozeman on News and Talk 1380 WAO.